Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please join me in prayer for the prayer of preparation. O Lord, attune me to your presence, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and make Christ known to my heart and mind and body. Amen.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's love in human form. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never ends. Today we light the fourth candle, the candle of love, to remind us how God's perfect love is found in Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God, we have learned to love from being loved by you. And so today, let us enact that love. Let us live that love. We know that what the world needs now is more love. We need to remember how much you love each other, each one of us, and we must share that love with others. Amen.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, your God will be your glory. Please join me in singing hymn number 23, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you. Let us pray. As the birth of any child is a miracle beyond our comprehension, O God, how much more so is the birth of Mary's child? We cry out in awe in the wonder, the marvel of your love, and the mystery of your world made flesh. May we, through all our days, bring honor to our Lord, who shared life in the flesh with us. In Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Please be seated and join me in the call to confession. Is Christmas for us a sentimental story or a reawakening of transforming faith? Let us confess to God the gaps in our relationship with the ones whose birth we relive in this morning by saying the prayer of confession. Grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, you came among us as shining in darkness. We confess we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope, so now we may receive the fullness of grace and live the truth of Christ. Now time for silent personal confession. Amen.
God's life-giving word and spirit conquer the powers of sin and death. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Christ we are forgiven. Please stand and join me for the glory to God. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us forgive one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me for the prayers of the people. Holy One, as we prepare for the advent of Christ, give us your spirit of wisdom. As we seek to embody your love in the world, give us your spirit of good counsel. As we speak to be faithful, give us eyes to see beyond the obvious. As we gather in this hour, we lift all in need before you. May we be the instruments of your peace on earth as we accept the gifts of your spirit. Amen. Please join me for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us a day for our daily bread, and forgive us for our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy name and power and glory forever. Amen.
Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray. O God, as we offer our gifts and ourselves, help us to be aware of the hopes and fears of all your children. Grant us that these gifts may bring to them the light and hope of Advent. Amen. You may be seated.
You know what I love about Christmas?
What?
Those little noisemaker things you blow in and the shiny little strip of paper roll out and then back in again.
I think those are more of a New Year's thing.
Really? Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I think I read somewhere that they use them in England at Christmas time.
You're thinking of crackers.
I know what crackers are. Those little round things you put cheese on.
Not those kind of crackers. Christmas crackers. Everyone gets one at dinner and then pulls on the ends and a small toy or candy falls out.
I think that's called a finger trap.
No, that's the thing that... Never mind. Do you know what I love about Christmas?
Eggnog?
No, well, yes, actually. But that's not what I meant. At Christmas time, I love stories.
Oh, like Frosty the Snowman.
No, it's...
Oh, I know. Rudolph.
Nope, not Rudolph.
What is it then?
It's a great story. In fact, some people call it the greatest story ever told.
Imagine that.
And we just so happen to have the story right here.
Then let's hear it.
Well, we're going to need a little help.
From me? I'm standing right here, ready to listen. I don't know what more I could do.
Listen is great. You just do that. We don't need your help. We need their help.
Oh, I thought they were just here to listen, too.
Not this year. They're going to help us bring this story to life.
Oh, that's cool. Now I'm really excited.
If everyone's ready, then we can start the story. Okay, great. Then let's get ready to tell the story of the very first Christmas, the night Jesus is born.
Hey, I think I've heard this story before.
Maybe so, but never like this. Now here we go. Once upon a manger.
Oh, I see what you did there. Like, once upon a time?
I thought you were going to listen.
Right. Sorry.
Now where was I? Right. Once upon a manger. A long, long time ago in the town of Nazareth in Galilee. There was a young woman named Mary. One day, while Mary was finishing up the washing, a bright light shone on Mary, and an angel named Gabriel appeared.
When Mary saw Gabriel, she was surprised and immediately stopped her work.
I would have stopped my work, too. It's not every day that an angel miraculously appears in your living room. It's pretty cool.
Yes, it was. The angel Gabriel turned to Mary and said, he told Mary, "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
Mary must have been so surprised.
Yes, she was. But she was honored that God had chosen her for this special task. So she said to Gabriel,
"I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled."
Mary must have been very brave.
Yes, she is brave indeed. Now at this time, Mary is betrothed to a man named Joseph. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't know what to think. God could see that Joseph was troubled. So once more, he sent his angel, Gabriel.
This time, Gabriel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Gabriel said to Joseph,
"Do not be afraid."
That's right. Gabriel told him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Then Gabriel left.
Gabriel dropped a knowledge bomb on Mary and Joseph, didn't he?
He sure did. Now in those days, Caesar Augustus decreed that all people in the land of Judea must return to the city where their family was from to be counted for the census. So Mary and Joseph packed up and traveled the long journey to Bethlehem. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they met a census taker. The census taker's job was to record the names, occupations, and residences of all those who came to Bethlehem. When it was Mary and Joseph's turn, the census taker said,
"Next!"
Joseph told the census taker that he and Mary were married, and that he was a carpenter from the house and family line of David. When the census taker had recorded everything Joseph had told him, he said,
"Next!"
So Mary and Joseph had to travel all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem just to give their names and occupation.
Yes, and remember, they had to travel all that way on foot with only a donkey to help them.
I hope they had good shoes.
They had sandals.
Wow.
And don't forget, Mary was pregnant.
Double wow.
Can't we get back to the story now?
Yes, please. I can't wait to hear what happens next.
Now that they had been counted, Mary and Joseph had to find somewhere to stay. Mary knew that the baby was coming, so they needed to find a place, and fast. Mary and Joseph went from end to end, hoping to find a room where they could stay the night. But at each door they came to, the innkeeper said,
"There's not enough room at the inn." "There's not enough room in the inn." "Sorry, there's not enough room in the inn."
Well, that was a problem for our Aurelia Travers, wasn't it?
It sure was. Unable to find a room, Mary and Joseph had nowhere to turn. Luckily, one of the innkeepers took pity on them and allowed them to stay the night in the barn behind the inn.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Which innkeeper took pity on Mary and Joseph? Was it that one?
I think it was that one.
Way to go, innkeeper.
As Mary and Joseph got settled into the barn, they realized that they weren't alone.
Let me guess. God was there with them?
Of course. God was there with them. But that wasn't who I was talking about.
Don't tell me that angel Gabriel just showed up out of nowhere again.
If you would just listen, I would tell you who was there with them. That's better. As Mary and Joseph looked around the barn, they saw animals of all kinds.
There were cows that said,
"Moo."
There were sheep that said,
"Baa." And there were pigs that said,
"Baa." Wow, that must have been a noisy barn. Can you imagine if all those animals were talking at the same time?
It probably would have sounded something like this.
What happened next?
What did you say?
I said, what happened next?
There's no reason to yell. We'll keep reading the story, don't worry. Okay. And there, amongst the animals and the straw, in a barn out behind the inn, Mary gave birth to the Son of God. As he looked upon his wife and baby, Joseph said, "His name will be Jesus."
Just as Gabriel told him in the dream.
That's right. Now, as Mary and Joseph looked down on their newborn son, there were many stars looking down on them. The sky above the barn was beautiful, filled with the light of the stars that seemed to say,
"Little star."
What?
You know, the song, "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." "How I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky." Now all the stars say,
"Twinkle, twinkle."
Little star, how I wonder what you are.
Are you done?
Yes, please continue.
There was one star that shone more brightly than the rest. God placed this bright star in the night sky to show where the Messiah lay sleeping in the arms of his mother, Mary. The star had one job, and that was to say,
Jesus is born.
Nearby, in a field, shepherds were tending their sheep. The fields were quiet that night, except for the sheep who would occasionally say, The shepherds were dozing off when suddenly an angel appeared. The shepherds were startled from their naps and said, Did you see that?
The shepherds couldn't believe their eyes. In front of them stood an angel from heaven. The angel said,
Do not be afraid.
When the shepherds were calm, the angel continued, saying, Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Then suddenly, a choir of angels appeared in the sky.
They praised God and said,
Hallelujah!
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace be among people with whom he is pleased. It was then that the shepherds saw the bright star and knew they must travel to Bethlehem to see the Messiah.
When the shepherds saw the newborn baby Jesus, they knelt down and praised him.
And all across the land, the good news spread of the birth of the Messiah.
But what about the wise men?
What about them?
Everyone knows that there are three wise men in this story.
The three wise men didn't arrive for many months after Jesus was born.
But they're in our nativity scenes at home. They're so cute with their beards and little trinket boxes.
Don't worry. The three wise men are in our story too.
The shepherds weren't the only ones who saw the bright star in the sky. Three wise men called Magi traveled from the east to worship the newborn king. When they arrived,
Many months later,
they knelt before Jesus and said,
We come bearing gifts.
They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to worship Jesus and to share in the joy that Jesus, the Messiah, and King, had been born.
And they all lived happily ever after.
This isn't a fairy tale. This is the story of the birth of Jesus a long, long time ago.
Once upon a time.
Right.
In a manger.
Right again.
What a great story.
Better than Frosty?
Way better than Frosty. You might even say it's the greatest story ever told.
Imagine that. Well, I think there's only one thing left to say.
What's that? Merry Christmas!